Professor. Good evening, and thanks for coming in. I wonder whether it annoys you at the moment that the world is rebelling. There's anger out there. The system has been questioned. The elite are unpopular in a way that I think you would encourage. And yet it's not really... The forces are not gathering around your view. In some ways, they're more... It's more right-wing discontent. The Tea Party in the US, the UKIP party here. What do you think?
Those exist, and I think they reflect an understandable anger at a neoliberal period in which the majority of the population has suffered considerably while enormous wealth and power has been accumulated in a tiny fraction of the society. Democratic forms have been substantially reduced. There's plenty of evidence for that. But it's not entirely correct. So, for example, hundreds of thousands of people demonstrated in the streets of New York a couple of weeks ago in calling for serious action about dealing with the climate catastrophe. And that's a representative of a huge part of the population. And I think anger and concern take many different forms, but they have... You can find lots of common roots.
Yeah, and in Spain and Greece, the left wing have come out on top, if you like, of the discontent. But it is, you know, reading those quotes to some ordinary people, it is, I suppose, one of the difficulties of your position, that you end up, in a way, having to take a view of what of you telling them what you think would be good for them, and them not quite really being on your wavelength. Is that a fair critique of the Noam Chomsky philosophy?
That's not my experience. I spend an enormous amount of time giving talks, discussions, all classes of people all over. I don't tell them what to think. I tell them what I think, encourage them to develop their own ideas, and I think we quite often see things the same way.
But when you say people have been made into consumers rather than citizens, is that... Could that be accused of being patronising to people as though they're kind of suckers for being material consumers as opposed to thinking bigger things about their lives?
No, I don't. I think they're suffering from a situation in which they are not citizens. They're not participants. It's easy to demonstrate that. I know the United States better, but I think it's essentially the same here. Mm. And one of the major topics in mainstream political science is the relation between attitudes and policy. It's not hard to study. Policy we see, attitudes we determine from very extensive and quite accurate and consistent polling. And the results are striking. It turns out that for about 70% of the population, the lower 70% on the income scale, their attitudes have zero impact on policy. They're just ignored by their representatives as you
and
move.
That really surprises me, because here I think politicians sometimes feel they're running to catch up with where the public are, particularly on issues like immigration, for example, where they're kind of, it was one they didn't spot, but the public really did.
I'm sorry, but the public has mixed attitudes on immigration. Right. Actually, this is very well studied. Don't take my word for it. In 2 minutes, I can give you references. As you move up the income scale, you get more influence on policy. When you get to the very top, which is a fraction of 1%, you essentially have policy made. This is true on issue after issue. Those that are, whether it's taxes, military, immigration, whatever you like.
It's certainly believable that the sort of more powerful and important people are the ones who run the
it's
country.
It's not just powerful, and they're not powerful and important. They control the wealth of the society, and that puts them in a position essentially to purchase the government and its actions. And that's simply demonstrated. In this respect, people are losing the capacity to be citizens.
Let me just ask you one last question, because we are on a time budget here. And it's about Ferguson, what's going on over in the US. I wonder whether back in the 1960s you would have imagined that these tensions would still be around in the 2010s.
Well, there's a long history. The first slaves came to the United States in 1619. That's about 500 years. Yeah. I have no time to run through the history, but if you look through it, during this period there have been literally a few decades, scattered decades, in which African Americans, the majority, had a fairly decent shot at entering the mainstream society. Especially black males are targets for abuse by the security system, by in the so-called drug war, and killings, and lack of opportunity for employment, and so on. Whatever, when things like Ferguson happening, they're lighting a match where the kindling is pretty dry.